From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of April, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, the state statisticians will update us on conditions in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. We'll hear about the agricultural energies from Dave Chatterton at Strategic Farm Marketing and Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist from the University of Illinois. He'll tell us a bit about cold temperatures, the soils, water, seeds, and whether farmers should continue planting or not. Quick hint, Emerson says no, but you'll want to hear the reasons why. And we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today at $6.65 a bushel, 14 and a half higher. July up 11 and a half at $5.92, and May soybeans up 22 cents at $14.72. July there, 14.57 and three quarters, up 21 and a quarter. November beans, new crop, up 15 and a half at $12.99 and a half on the settlement price. Bean meal at $4.10.40, up $2.90. The bean oil, $2 and a nickel higher at $58.32. Wheat futures, soft red July at $6.61 and a quarter, up 7.5 cents. And the hard red July at $6.28, 9.25 cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago, nearby April contract up 22.5 cents, settled at $120.57.5. June at $119.20, up 60 for the day. And the feeder cattle finished the nearby 15 cents lower at $137.57.5 in the April. May on out, though, were higher, up 30 cents in the May at $142.77.5 for 100 pounds. And lean hogs, May contract there at $108.07, $2.42.5 higher. A quick look at some of the energies. Crude oil at $62.43 a barrel. That's down about 95 cents. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.87.6, a penny and 6 cents lower. Gasoline on the wholesale price, 3 cents lower at $2 a penny and 3 tenths of a cent. Natural gas for the day at $2.72 and 3 tenths a gallon. That's down 2 6 tenths of a cent. Ethanol up 2 cents at $2.16 a gallon. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to discuss an up day in Chicago. I'd call around a turnaround Tuesday, but it's just a continuation Tuesday today. Not bad in Chicago. What happened?
Well, I mean, a lot of things going on. I mean, the weather is probably one of the biggest things going on right now, Todd. You know, I've talked to guys today that started the day with sleet, and some guys that had white ground all over, and we had sun most of the day till about 10 minutes ago, and we're pretty okay. But a lot of talk about weather coming in. A lot of talk about weather in South America also, that South American weather. A lot of people continuing to think the next 2 weeks are going to be dry and could really affect the pollination of the safrina crop down there. So a lot of sort of excitement by funds. Funds were big adders to their positions today.
Yeah, and so they have been on that side of the market, so they're continuing to add into the market. Any fear as we go into the end of the month that they will rebalance?
You know, that's always a choice, but I think they're going to be looking at about four different things here right now. They're looking at inflation. They're looking at the rebuilding of things. They're looking at the demand and the small carryouts, and they're looking at the weather forecast. But a lot of times they're looking at the basis levels and seeing they continue to stay strong, and the inverse in the spreads, and the inverse in the spreads continue to be, you know, old crop over a new crop, old crop over the next month out there. So, you know, for right now, they're continuing to build. And I think as we look at it here, the funds added 6,000 wheat today, 12,000 corn, 20,000 beans, you know, and they're net long, you know, 430,000 corn and 192,000 beans here right now. So they're not, those new bigger limits have just sort of brought them out, and they're spending money and they're making prices better for farmers.
And farmers should just wait?
Well, you know, the guys that haven't waited are sort of making margin calls here now. But, you know, I think that you feather some trades in here as we go along the way. I think that there's also a lot of things out there. What if the weather forecast changes? You know, if you listen to Agrible this week, well, he sort of said he missed the little forecast a little bit of a couple weeks ago, and these other bees can be missing it, and weather can change, and boy, the political situations across the world could change dramatically and change these. These are very good prices. We'd be feathering in a few sales.
I'm told that the coldest air temperatures will be in Indiana tonight. Are you concerned at all about cornets in the ground?
Well, I suppose we have to be concerned, but I don't think I'm worried. I think that everybody that I talked to today that planted corn early, it's not up out of the ground over about an inch or so, and that the growing point isn't out. So I'm not really worried. I don't think we have to worry about a lot of replant happening because of it, because the growing point is still going to be under the ground, and I don't think we're going to stay cold long enough to really to kill the crop off on this one.
Usually when the trade is thinking about weather, they're looking ahead. They're reacting to weather that's happening at least in the United States now, meaning the cold temperature, although they're, I suppose, looking ahead at the hot temperatures in South America and the safrinha crop areas of Brazil. Will that be enough support for the rest of the week, or does this market need to take a breather?
I would think that you look at July corn, the May corn pushed over and is traded well over $6. We closed at 6.06 and a half today, and it got up as high as 6.11 and three quarters. But the July corn now, its resistance is $6 again, and I think it could be hard for us to close over $6 July corn come Friday.
Anything from the livestock side or ethanol?
The ethanol, the margins are getting better on ethanol, and so that's a little more corn demand. So that's a little bit positive as we go along the way. So that the livestock continues to remain strong. The only thing that's not remaining strong is the feeder cattle because of the corn prices, and the feeder cattle have dropped back pretty hard this week.
Anything in the outside markets we should take up?
Well, I think, dollar's mixed today. It was down a little bit yesterday. Crude's a little bit lower and gold's a little bit higher. So we've got a mixed thing. And we're looking here and the stock market is backing up a little bit today also.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 8% of the corn crop around the nation has now been sown. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 8%. 2% of the crop is up and growing. 1% is the five-year average. 3% of the soybeans are in the ground around the nation. That is normally about 2% at this time. 10% of the winter wheat crop is now headed. The rolling five-year average is 14%. It's in the same condition this week as last at 46% good and 7% excellent. Last year, by the way, those numbers were 50% and 7% respectively. Now, here are updates from the statisticians in Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Melissa Couch, statistician for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Snow and abnormally low temperatures meant farmers were not planting row crops for most of the week ending April 18, 2021. Field activities for the week included applying anhydrous and dry fertilizer, spreading manure, tilling fields, and planting. Topsoil moisture levels rated 6% very short, 23% short, 67% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 10% very short, 32% short, 54% adequate, and 4% surplus. Although most Iowa farmers continued to wait for warmer temperatures, 4% of Iowa's corn crop has been planted. 2/3 of Iowa's expected oat crop has been planted, 5 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of the five-year average. Statewide, 12% of the oat crop has emerged, 2 days ahead of average. There were scattered reports of soybeans planted. Pasture condition rated 47% good to excellent. Some cattle have already been moved to pasture. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and dry across Illinois. There was an average of 4.8 days suitable for field work, and farmers used those days to apply fertilizer, plant corn and soybeans, and also to prepare fields for planting. Temperatures averaged only 49.5 degrees last week, and that was 3.4 degrees below normal. Weekly rainfall totals averaged 14 hundredths of an inch across the prairie state, and that was more than 3/4 of an inch below normal for this time of year. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 8 short, 82 adequate, and 9% surplus, considerably drier than the previous week. Corn planting reached 12% finished compared to 7% 1 year ago and 8% for the 5-year average. 5% of soybean acres are now planted, compared to 2% 1 year ago and 1% normally. 5% of winter wheat acres are headed, compared to 2% last year and 4% normally. The condition of the wheat crop was reported as 10% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 69% good to excellent, slightly worse than 1 week ago. Pasture conditions were rated 4% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 76% good to excellent. That is better than the previous week. Soil temperatures remain cool and range from the mid-40s to the lower 50s across Illinois on Sunday. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Precipitation in the form of both snow and rain and below normal temperatures meant Minnesota farmers had just 2.5 days suitable for field work during the week. Field activities included spreading manure, applying fertilizer, disking, and planting. A few reports of corn planting were received. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 4% very short, 18% short, 67% adequate, and 11% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 5% very short, 25% short, 63% adequate, and 7% surplus. Some reports mentioned continued dry conditions. Although some pastures remained dormant, others continued to green up despite below average temperatures. Pasture condition rated 5% very poor, 10% poor, 43% fair, 38% good, and 4% excellent. Livestock conditions were good. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Don Day now joins us on this chilly April day to talk about the weather forecast. 34 and snow here, and, you know, we don't have really anything gathering on the ground, but apparently in your area you did.
Yeah, the source region of this cold air and this winter weather that's returned got its start late last week and over the weekend way up in the Northwest Territories, the Yukon. And the cold air was able to build up and had a big release far to the south and east across the United States and Canada. Remarkably similar, Todd, in terms of the pattern, the way it evolved with the big Arctic outbreak that we had in the middle of February. So it's kind of a redo, but the April version, which is not as cold, thankfully, but plenty cold enough. We're going to see some temperatures here tonight and into the morning hours of tomorrow that will be down into the low to mid-20s across a good swath of the Midwest, Corn Belt, and Great Lakes.
So who has the lowest temperatures, or do they not vary greatly in their lows across that area?
Well, I think the bullseye of the coldest that we see, and a lot of this has to do with how much clearing we get tonight and also where the snow cover is going to be. It looks like the coldest temperatures will be across Indiana, into southern parts of Michigan and northwest Ohio, where it's possible. There may be a few areas in the upper teens. While you go across a large part of Illinois is mainly going to be in the upper 20s to right around 30 degrees. But we see 20s across Missouri, 20s across portions of Iowa, and even some upper 20s across portions of the Ohio Valley off to our south. So this is a widespread cold outbreak.
Speaking of widespread, I think there will be a widespread temperature spread by the time we get to the end of the week, into the beginning of next week. Can you tell me about it?
That is right. When you have these big changes in air masses that go north to south, you have the opposite happening going south to north upstream. So although we have this big displacement of cold air from those Yukon Northwest Territory areas, we're going to see air from the desert states come in and replace this air mass, and temperatures are going to be 70s and 80s by the early to middle parts of next week. So this is going to be kind of a miserable next couple of days, but by early next week, it's right back to spring again.
Will there be much rainfall in that process of changing from one air temperature to the other?
Well, it will. There will be. Now, initially, we've got the cold rain and the wet snow that we're getting right now. As we get into the early to middle parts of next week, some rare areas of rain and thunderstorms, so the couple of troughs will come through. There'll be winners and losers. I think we are still looking at the best rains being over the central and southern Corn Belt areas. This would be Indiana, Illinois, parts of Missouri. Iowa will get into the act a little bit, eastern Nebraska as well. Although we're still concerned about those northern areas. The Dakotas, especially North Dakota, parts of Minnesota, may miss out. But I do think a lot of the Corn Belt will see 1 to 3 inches of rain mid to late next week and the week following.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. And you just heard, of course, and already know that there will be very, very cold temperatures across the whole of the Corn Belt throughout this week. Emerson Nafziger, extension agronomist from the University of Illinois, has written an article for the CropDoc website about cold temperatures and corn in particular. I spoke with him earlier today about that article. I'll read some of it to you at the moment, and then we'll hear directly from Emerson. In the article, he says further lowering of temperatures this week, along with the possible snow, increases the chance that seeds will take in cold water and in so experience imbibitional chilling. Water uptake starts relatively quickly after planting, and while cool soils will slow this process some, it simply will not stop. Imbibitional chilling is just the first water that the seed happens to take in, by the way. Emerson goes on to say, with little to gain and more to lose from planting during the early part of this week, quote, I believe the needle is towards waiting until later in the week before planting. Here's a bit more from Emerson's conversation with me earlier today.
Ideally, you know, if we can postpone planting and get started the end of the week, where just the outlook for temperature then is going to be much more favorable. But that will come with increased chances of precipitation. I think we probably are better off taking that end of the risk rather than saying let's get it all planted before, you know, this cold spell is over with, and at least we'll have it in the ground. You know, having it in the ground certainly is a comfort to us, and it sounds good. But we should all think a little bit like a seed and say, is that really where you want to be when the temperature tonight gets down into the upper 20s? And, you know, we can't cover these fields with blankets to keep that from doing damage. The crop hasn't, at least in central northern Illinois, hasn't made enough growth in most cases, you know, to be close to emergence. So a crop that is close to emergence, or in southern Illinois that has actually emerged, you know, could easily take a beating from the frost event that we think is coming over much of the state. The contention that, you know, the growing point for corn is under the soil and so it's protected is one that doesn't actually bear out in all cases. I've seen corn, emerged corn, that's actually killed by a frost event, and our plants are killed from it. And so that's not perfect safety to have it there. And certainly any frost event after we've planted the crop is not one we really relish. If the temperatures would rebound really quickly with a lot of sunshine to get those soils warmed back up, it wouldn't have a great deal of effect. But, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of add to the balance that says maybe waiting would be a little better.
That's Emerson Nafziger from the University of Illinois. I spoke with him earlier in the day. You can read his article about cold soil temperatures and corn in particular on our website at willag.org, willag.org. And this final note from the conversation earlier today as I walked into his office space, he suggested to me that sometimes there are weeks during the year we look back and say, well, that was the wrong week to plant, and this might very well be the one. Let's check in now with Dave Chatterton. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing, joins us once a month to talk about the agricultural energies here on the Closing Market Report. Thanks, Dave, for being with us. Let's start with ethanol. What's been changing there, if anything?
Yeah, Todd, been some pretty interesting action in ethanol here. I mean, the outright ethanol, the Chicago ethanol values are above $2 here. That's the first time since really 2014 that we've seen that. So similar to corn, soybeans are what we've seen in the grain complex. We're seeing the ethanol also make new highs. With that, producer margins have been improving here, especially across the Midwest here. So, you know, rough calculation, Illinois gross margins are probably around 45 cents. That, after all costs and everything, you know, we're seeing margins that are still in the positive side, and we haven't seen that for a while either. Gasoline demand in the U.S. has shown some improvement. We're up to within about 5% of those pre-pandemic kind of 2019 levels, if you will. Still some ground to make up, but we are moving the right way. We've got ethanol stocks, you know, coming down. We've got production starting to recover here, and generally a market that's shown a little bit of life here. And with that, we're seeing some of the analysts start to up their annual ethanol usage numbers a little bit above where the USDA currently sits for the 2021 number. So with the, you know, the carryout already tightening with the export number, you know, looking to go up by many analysts, we're now seeing that same type of an equation develop in the ethanol side of the corn balance sheet.
Growing season has begun here in the United States, especially for the Midwest. Anything to do for diesel fuel needs for the season?
Yeah, I mean, we're right on the cusp here. I think if you don't have your physical supply spoken for, now is the time to do that. We're still struggling with a few regional supply dislocation issues due to the storms that occurred later in the year, but prices have at least come down from where we were at. If we look at wholesale and the values, let's say, in the Illinois area, I mean, wholesale diesel got as high as 230 there in early March when we were dealing with the storms and the refinery shutdowns. We've now dropped down into that kind of a 180, 185 type of a range. So certainly well above where we were a year ago at this time, but a little bit of relief. I don't expect that we're going to get a lot of additional downside here in the near term. We are watching OPEC policy and some different things, but the outlook for cash diesel in the area is going to be probably sideways at best here.
Anything on the energy side of note that I should know about before I let you go?
Well, I mean, just to remind everybody, today is actually the one-year anniversary of the negative close that we had for WTI crude futures a year ago. The May contract going into the expiration there closed at the negative $37.63 a barrel, I believe it was, set a record first-ever lower close for a futures contract and something that we had not seen. So it is kind of the anniversary of a historic day, if you want to put it in those terms.
Hey, thank you. We will. You did. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing, joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media.